Wonderful singing with you this morning. Greg, thanks so much for reading that passage and your comments. They will, as the Lord would have it, flow perfectly into our time in the Word here this morning. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 in your copy of God's Word. As we continue on working our way through the Gospel of Luke. And our text this morning only has three verses. These three verses are a key to understanding Luke chapter 4, but actually they are a key to understanding Luke's gospel in its entirety. Because this morning we will hear from Jesus about his mission. We are going to learn that his mission is to preach the kingdom of God. You say, wait a minute, I thought his mission was to come and die on a cross. That is part of the kingdom of God plan. His mission, as Jesus says it in our text this morning, is to preach the kingdom of God. His passion, his aim, his objective was to persist in this mission until the Father determined it was Jesus' time to die. Until the Father determined it was Jesus' time to die. So if you would, follow along as I read verses 42 through 44 of Luke chapter 4. Luke writes, "When it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. The people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, 'I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose.'" And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Father in heaven, we are thankful and praise you for the written, recorded, and preserved word. Thank you for the privilege of being able to open it and read it and learn from it. And I pray that you would do a work in our hearts today, opening our eyes to see truth. And God, I do pray that what is preached today would impact us as you would have it to. So I pray that we would be submissive to you in this endeavor. It is a privilege to worship you in this way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, to help us remember, again, three verses, to help us remember what is taking place, what I'd like to do this morning is give each verse a point. They are listed for you here up on the screen. We will see in verse 42 that the mission of Jesus is grounded with prayer, that Jesus was gifted with purpose, and the reason I call it gifted with purpose is because this is a grace of the Father, and it is a grace of the Father for you and me as well. You and I have been gifted with purpose. We don't just float through this life. We don't just wander aimlessly. We are gifted with purpose. And verse 44, we will see Jesus going with perseverance. Grounded, gifted, and going. Verses 42 through 44. Let's go ahead and begin with verse 42. And notice here that what Luke writes is that when it was day. So what we understand from this right off the bat is there is a continuation from the recorded events of the previous busy day. You remember what we were talking about last week. Jesus had preached in the synagogue. He taught in the synagogue. That could have been hours of teaching. That's exhausting in and of itself, but it wasn't just the teaching ministry of Jesus. It was also his ministry of care that he was able to exhibit to other people. So what did he do? He cast a demon out of a man. Now, that actually happened during the service. Jesus didn't say, hey, this is really awkward. Let's go ahead and take a break and send everybody home and we'll pick up with our teaching next week. He took care of the issue at hand and then continued on in his preaching. He cast out a demon. After he was done with his lesson, he went to the home of an individual, and rather than just kicking back, he healed this man's mother-in-law. He then, as the day wore on and the sun went down, healed multitudes and cast out multiple demons as well. Most people would desire some alone time. Most people would desire some me time. Well, Jesus gets alone. But notice what Luke writes. He writes that when it was day, Jesus went into a desolate place. Parallel passage, Mark chapter 1, verse 35, tells us specifically that Jesus did two things. He went out early, and early is described as when it was still dark. So Jesus gets up very early, and while it's still dark, he goes out into a desolate place, and he goes there specifically to pray. So this next day, Jesus gets up early and goes out to talk with his Father. He doesn't hop on his phone. He doesn't jump on the computer or on his calendar and begin planning out his day. We see immediately here that Jesus goes to prayer, and it is prayer which initiates whatever the Father has for Jesus to accomplish that day. Jesus has submitted, has yielded his schedule to the Father. Prayer initiated whatever the Father had for him to accomplish that day. He loved his Father. And he loved prayer with his Father, communion with his Father, knowing his Father and his Father's word. And his Father's will. And this fuels his mission that comes from the Father. He had to hear from God. Friend, as you go about your Christian life, there is nothing equal to prayer. No amount of discipline in service equals prayer. No amount of listening to something, to a message, to a podcast, to Bible teaching, no amount is equal to prayer. Prayer, communion with your Father. Too many hours of our day are spent relying on our own creativity, our own cleverness, even in our walk with Him, rather than actually relying on God to use His Word to accomplish His will through us. What is it that His Word says? What does the Father want of us? Aren't you thankful for His revelation? Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. Everything, see the exclusivity of that. The totality of that includes everything. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What did Jesus say? Jesus says, I tell you this, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Now, there's more to it than just that one line of teaching. But what is Jesus's point? There's great value in prayer, in communion with the Father. 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always. Pray at all times. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is what God would have you to do. What is it that God would have Jesus do? Come to Him in prayer. Ephesians 3. Now, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask, pray, think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory. To look to God, to open up the blessings of heaven, and give His direction for both general and particular tasks cannot be rushed. It will take time. Prayer takes time. You ask people, hey, why is prayer so difficult? One of the reasons prayer is so difficult is because of time. We give our time to so many other things other than God. And prayer takes time. It takes time. It takes prayer. It takes the Word of God. Christian, what are you all about? What are you all about? Why are you here? What is your purpose? What is your mission in life? See, what prayerlessness does is it dilutes a Christian's life. It leaves it to a ho-hum existence devoid of the Spirit's power. Do you remember Jesus' words in John 10:10? I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly. So a believer who depends on God's word, responding in daily repentance and communion with the Father, is going to have some abundance in his life, some purpose, some meaning, because their reason for existence, their purpose in life originates with God through prayer. You could see Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 for that. How foolish it is for us. How foolish to attempt to carry out the will of God without spending time with the God of that mission. How foolish to attempt to carry out the will of God, the mission of God, the plan of God for your life without spending time with the God of that will and that mission. Jesus would have none of that. He prioritized prayer, and his mission was grounded in it. Now, we read from the text here that the people, including his disciples, Mark 1, including his disciples, kept looking for him until they found him, and they did everything they could do to get him to stay in that one place. Hey, great things are happening here in Capernaum. In fact, it's way better than what happened in Nazareth. So why don't we just set up camp here? Why don't we just stay here? What is this? It's another opportune time for Satan. It's another opportune time for the wicked one. Can you just hear the temptation? Hey, stay for the praise. Stay for the glory. They want you. Don't leave them. They'll follow you. But all of these temptations are the same temptations. They're the same pleas that you and I hear from the wicked one as well. What are they? They are pleas to act independently of the Father's will. To step out and say, hey, what do I think is best? Jesus, you see it in front of you. Why don't you just camp out here? There are more people who want to hear you. There are more people who want to see you. Jesus answers in verse 43. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. Gifted with purpose. Again, what the Father has done is the Father has given Jesus a reason. It's not just float along and flit from one town to the next or one need to the next. Jesus is purposefully driven. He says here, I must. I must. There is a sense of compulsion here, a necessity coupled with an urgency. I must. And what must he do? I must preach. Did you notice that preach is listed twice here in this passage? In verse 43 and then down in verse 44. Interestingly, two different words that are used. When Jesus says, I must preach, he is using the word to evangelize. I must evangelize. Pastor Adam has taught us over and again that true evangelism is giving the good news of salvation as it has been revealed in the Bible. That is evangelization, evangelism. It is giving that specific message. So your testimony and mine might be a part of our gospel sharing opportunities, but the message of the gospel is very specific, right? The message of the gospel goes something like this. To evangelize is to seek to see people won over to the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that all are sinners and in need of a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. And He came to seek and to save the lost sinners. Anyone, any sinner, anyone who's lost, who puts their faith in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins will be saved. Paul summarized it this way. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. So it's not originating with Paul. He has received it. He's received it from others who have given the testimony, but he has received it from the Lord. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance to the Scriptures. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus says, I must preach. I must evangelize. I must give a message. And here is what Jesus calls it. He calls it the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, good news is that word that is often rendered gospel in the New Testament. The word is understood in the first century as referring to a message so great, so amazing, so incredible that it would alter the course of human history. It's not just, hey, I got an encouraging word for you today. It's, you have got to hear this. It's going to change everything. In fact, if you don't hear this, you are missing out on everything. That's the understanding of good news. That's the understanding of gospel, of what the gospel is. Jesus calls this message that he will evangelize with, he calls this the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, the word kingdom simply means realm or reign. We're going to hear a lot about the kingdom of God in the Gospel of Luke. This is just the beginning of it. But over 30 times, Luke records it as either something that one of the disciples says or specifically what Jesus says. But we are going to hear it over 30 times. Kingdom of God terminology. And that kingdom of God terminology is going to be filled out, particularly through Jesus' teaching as he teaches through parables. So in other words, you're familiar with a parable beginning like this. The kingdom of heaven is like. Right? Or such is the kingdom of God. So you're going to hear it again and again and again. Now, there are a few things going on here. First of all, as Jesus is teaching, who are those in his immediate audience? Jewish people, right? They're in the synagogue. And yet, who is the Gospel of Luke being written to? Theophilus. So we have to cover both of those points. First of all, you have the Jews hearing this from Jesus' mouth. And the Jews are thinking a couple of different things. First of all, by their own history and what they know of the Old Testament, the Jews are thinking Messiah. The Jews are thinking Savior. The Jews are thinking Davidic line, Davidic king, prophecy, and Old Testament. This is what the Jews are thinking. And they're not wrong in that. In fact, Jesus has already alluded to it back in verse 18 when he was in Nazareth. Again, this may be the same message that is preached in Capernaum. But notice what he says back in verse 18, reading from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So, in one sense, he has already revealed what they would be concluding to be true. Yes, I am here. Yes, I am of the line of David. Yes, I am king. Yes, I am here in the flesh. And they're going to have to respond to that. Some of them are going to respond to it positively, saying, "We believe." Others are going to say, "No way, rise up and revolt against this blasphemer." And yet others are going to have questions. The disciples are in that third category. They're going to have questions. And Jesus will answer those questions as we make our way through the Gospel of Luke. But think about this for a minute. If he is this king, if he is this king come to set up his throne, then obviously he is here to overthrow Rome. The time is now. Transform society, lift the poor, all kinds of revolutionary thoughts, right? They're probably not thinking, "He's here to transform my heart." More like, "He is here to transform the world. And he's going to do so through some kind of socio-political revolt. And we're here to follow this one who is going to lead the charge. Just transform Israel. Make us a superpower again. Get rid of all of our problems." At the same time, again, remember, Theophilus is the recipient of this letter. Luke's letter is given to give Theophilus a detailed account of the life and the message of Jesus Christ. So that what? In chapter 1, we're told, so that he might have confidence that what he was taught is true. With that in mind, I would like to have you look at Luke's explanation of what took place through a man's preaching, a man by the name of Philip. He is Philip the evangelist. And the word for preach is the word for evangelism in Acts chapter 8, verse 12. "And when they believed Philip, as he preached, as he evangelized," what was he preaching? The good news about the kingdom of God. Does that look familiar? "And the name of Jesus Christ, when they believed, they were baptized, both men and women." When they believed, the good news about the kingdom of God. When this same message of the kingdom of God was preached, the gospel of the kingdom called people to turn from their sin, to trust in Jesus Christ, and begin a new life that would go God's way rather than their own. Now, the Jews who are hearing Jesus, they're not getting any of that. But Jesus is saying, yes, I am here. I am the Messiah. I am the one of whom it was prophesied would reign on the throne of David. I am here. And what Luke is going to do is Luke's going to fill that out as he teaches. Jesus will fill it out in his teaching and what that means. But the point is this, is that the message of Jesus is meant to radically alter lives. It truly is the one and the only gospel. It is the one and only good news that can completely alter everything about a person, about their past and their present and their future. And the other cities have to hear this. Jesus is compelled to go. They say, stay, stay, stay. And he says, no, I must go. I must preach. I wonder, friend, how many musts do you have in your life? Is it your testimony? I must follow my Father. I must live for Him. I must walk in His truth. I must speak His word. How many other I musts compete for our allegiance? Jesus said, no, I must go. Can you imagine the temptation coming from the wicked one? The temptation to be a people pleaser here? Okay, well, maybe I can just stay a little bit longer. I mean, they, just like the crowd in Nazareth, overcomes Jesus and takes him out to the cliff. So this crowd comes and they are compelling him to stay for good reason. But it is not the will of the Father. And Jesus says, it is not the will of people that my heart marches to. It is the will of the Father. He says this, I was sent for this purpose. I was sent. I was externally motivated and directed for this mission. Jesus isn't sitting here saying, well, my heart tells me. He's not saying, boy, what makes the most sense? Because what makes the most sense is for him to stay. Because if he leaves, some people in Capernaum are going to die. Interesting, all those who were healed did eventually die. But what about all the people who weren't healed? What about all the people who hadn't heard yet? Some people in Capernaum are going to die because of their disease if Jesus leaves. Can't you hear? Jesus, don't you care? Don't you love us? He does. And that is why he follows his mission. A mission to preach this message until it is the Father's time for him to die. He follows the will of the Father. That is a wonderful gift, believer, that even you and I have, to follow the will of God for your life. It is not a mystery. It is revealed to us in his word. Point number three, going with perseverance. Going with perseverance. He was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. The word preaching here is the more common word. It just means to publish or proclaim openly. So it summarizes what Jesus is doing while he's out evangelizing. This is actually public proclamation with a call to individually, specifically you, hear the message and respond to it. He left and he did what he was called to do. He was preaching, It implies again and again and again and again and again and again. You say, we get it, do we? Jesus' schedule was booked, and it was booked with evangelism. It was booked with helping people hear the truth about who he was and why he was there. Jesus prayed, Jesus heard the word of the Father, and he obeyed that word, that will, that purpose to the fullest. He acted upon the necessity. The healing in Capernaum was good. But what was best in this moment? That more people heard the good news that Jesus was here and that God was at work. And Luke says that he teaches this in the synagogues, plural, of Judea. The mission of our Lord. The mission of our Lord. While he was here on earth, the reason Jesus came was to proclaim and to call people to receive this good news, this life-changing news that Messiah had come. That the Savior had come. Again, this purpose will be filled out as Jesus obediently lives out his purpose and then ultimately dies as a sacrifice on the cross. But right now, the will of the Father for Jesus was to preach. God is faithful always. The hope of sinful man is a sinless Savior. And God is at work drawing people to himself so that they may know the hope of new life in Christ. The result of Jesus being obedient to his mission is you and I being in this room today. The only reason we are here is because of God's plan. Is because God is at work. Is because God indeed sent the Savior. The Jews didn't really get it. The Gentiles didn't really get it. But through the preaching and the ministry of Jesus, in obedience to the word and the will of the Father, they will have an opportunity to get it, just like you and just like me. What are we to take away from this? I'll give you three things. I won't expound on any of them. I'll let you do it. Number one, never underestimate the power of biblical preaching. Number two, know your mission and let everything else fall in line behind it. And number three, pray, know God's word, and go. Be obedient to our faithful God. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time in Luke chapter 4. Father, I thank you that you had a perfect plan for Jesus. Yes, it was to come and it was to die on a cross for sinful man. And yet while he was here, he was not sitting idle waiting for that time to come. You gave him purpose. You gave him mission. It was to preach. Preach the good news of the kingdom of God. They needed to hear it. Father, I'm so thankful that we have in front of us a testimony of the obedience of our Savior. I'm sure that there were times when Jesus felt like no one was listening. Another opportune time for Satan to come in and start to beat on him. And yet his trust was in his God. His trust was in the Father. His trust was in the power that came from the Father, in obedience to his revealed will. Jesus knew he was sent for this purpose. And so he continued on preaching truth. I pray that we would never underestimate the power of biblical preaching, that we would submit ourselves to hearing it again and again. It is not the words, in this case, of the messenger, but it is the words of the message that comes from the Word. And Father, I pray that we would seek your face in prayer, knowing our mission that you have for our lives. We would surrender everything else to fall in line behind it. And I do pray that we would be a people of prayer, that we would see the importance of coming to you, that we would not allow the competing attention grabbers to crowd out time for prayer, but maybe prayer would even crowd out those other attention grabbers. I pray that we would grow in the discipline, but also grow in the privilege of communing with you. So I thank you for these three short verses, and I do pray that you would grow our understanding as we move through Luke, that we would grow and that we would be used by you to impact this world and those around us with the hope of eternal life. Thank you for using broken people healed by your grace to serve you. We love you, praise you, and submit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.